morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome this big crowd to church this morning. Thank you for being out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you'll take your red pad, sign it, and if there's anybody on your row, you can pass it down. I think this is, for most pastors, I know for me, maybe the hardest Sunday of the year, because just Thursday night I looked out and packed about 130 people, now about 30, so we're missing about 100. And if we can find them, we'll be doing well.
Plus a couple of choir members.
That's right. I know one is sick. At least one. Let me write that down. Remind you, the Lord's Supper will be celebrated next Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year, to get us kicked off. And the missional team will be meeting Wednesday, January the 6th at 7 p.m., and then session will meet the following Wednesday. Offering envelopes are in the narthex on the table in the back. Food bank's always in need of foods. You can read about that. Scripture readers, we need some to sign up for the upcoming months, and that's just been such a wonderful program. If you've never done it, I hope that you will. You'll get the scripture sent to you at the first of the week in a nice version. And you'll have plenty of time to practice. And just remind everyone, the library's available for a crying room, and there's a speaker in there. It should be plugged in. If it's not, you can plug it up. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, one of my favorites, Joy to the World, 125. Continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for always being near us. We are grateful that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Forgive us when we forget the meaning of your birth so soon after Christmas. Remind us that in real life, your birth should comfort us every day. Help us to look to you for peace and joy. Show us how to tell others of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment to bow our heads and close our eyes to your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, ask them.
Good morning. Did you guys all have a good Christmas? Good. Did you have
hanging on your tree? What is that?
Candy cane.
But do you know there's a whole lot more to this candy cane than just a sweet Christmas treat?
I know.
You know? Tell me. Okay. If I hold the candy cane up this way, does it look like a letter?
Yeah.
What letter does it look like?
J.
J, okay. Is there a name that you can think of that starts with the letter J?
Oh, yes.
Very good, Emma. Oliver?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be a name.
Well, we're going to talk about Jesus' name. Now, if I hold it up this way, can you tell me what it looks like?
Candy
cane. Emma?
It looks like the shepherd's bar.
Very good. Yes, it's what the shepherds use to protect their sheep, or if they fall in a crevice or something, they can haul them out with it.
It also looks like a candy cane.
Yeah, it still looks like a candy cane. You're right. The shepherds always carry crooks. That's called a shepherd's crook to protect their sheep.
Oh, and it also looks like half a horn.
And this candy cane looks like a shepherd's crook to remind us that Jesus always protects us and looks after us. What color
it also
is this?
Looks like half a horn.
Oliver, tell me what color this is.
Red and white.
Red and white, okay. The white tells us that Jesus was pure and sinless.
Yes, and the red shows his
Well, unfortunately,
when he was on that cross.
Exactly. Very good, Oliver.
When it was
he was whipped, and it made red stripes on his back when he died for all of us, and the red stripes remind us of that.
Reminds me of red carpet.
So this is not just a sweet Christmas tree. It's a symbol that tells us everything we need to know about Jesus. All right, let's say a little prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do to protect us and care for us. I ask you to watch over these children, love them, and bless them. Help all of us remember the sacrifice you made for us long after we celebrate your birth at Christmas. Amen. Now I have candy canes for each of you, and I have attached to them a poem that tells you everything we talked about this morning. And I'd like you to take one for you and one to give to somebody out there who is not a member of your family.
Okay.
Okay, here you go, Oliver, and I'll give you one. Here, get us another one. Hey, Emma, do you want to pass those out? Okay, and while you I'd like to read the poem that's on here. Look at the candy cane, what do you see? Stripes that are red. Alright, you can get stripes that are red like the blood shed for me. White is for my Savior who's sinless and pure. J is for Jesus, my Lord, that's for sure. Turn it around and the staff you will see, Jesus my shepherd was born for me.
Very good.
Wonderful Christmas sermon, children's sermon by the candy cane. So every time you pick one up, think about that. The anthem is being changed and its title is Awake, Awake and Greet the New Morn. Responsive reading is Psalm 16, 692 in the back of your hymnal. 692, Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom was all my
lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance.
I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
This time I invite Elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Okay, we have a praise request from Mike Love for a friend of his, Scott Adams. He's having a dual lung transplant back in Tustin, so we want to wish him the best. A prayer request from Mary Slaver for her friend Esther, just had a stroke. And this is a praise request from Mary Slaver. Oh my. Dave Slaver's son's getting married at 2 p.m. today. I would like to send out my condolences to Jim. Samantha and Jim, all joking aside. Samantha and Jim, wish them the best.
Thank you. I'm going to add something to this. Veronica's son-in-law, Bob, passed away yesterday. And so let's be in prayer for Joyce and Veronica and all their family. And I'll get the information and update the congregation about it. John Croyle, one of our members who used to sing in the choir, he's been in Mount of Care for a good while. They had to take his knee out, and he's just got a rod, so he can't go home because of his stairs. But they're putting a new knee in, hopefully on the 28th, then he'll be at Mount of Care a few more weeks healing. So let's be in prayer for him. And Lynn Love is out today with an illness, so let's remember her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the day, because this is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice within this day, regardless of the circumstances or situations that we find ourselves in, or our friends, or our loved one, or our nation, or the whole entire world. And we, on this first Sunday after Christmas, we may feel a little bit of a letdown because of all the festivities and the food and special music and the bells and large crowds and Advent, but remind us that you are with us every day, that you've not changed, and you will be with us every day throughout this life and the life to come. So help us celebrate Christmas every day and remember the birth of Jesus and what it means to us and to the world. So we lift all these prayer requests up to you, believing in our hearts that you hear them and that you answer them. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his disciples and for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hymn of Preparation, Away in a Manger, 157. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful for this day, this first Sunday after Christmas. You're still blessing us with the birth of your Son. Remind us every day of our lives that you came into this world that we might have life and life eternal. So you gave gifts to your church that we can tell others about Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful building and the property, all the monies that are given, but more than money. People are giving of themselves, of their life, of who they are as a human being. And we thank you for that, Lord. Continue to use us for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
This is the second half of the Carol and John show. Don't worry, Leonard, we'll let you do the sermon. It's okay. Scripture today is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by these wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. This completes the reading for today.
Thank you, John. As I've already said, it's a little bit of a letdown after Christmas Eve and Christmas. We had a wonderful church service, and then Christmas morning you got up and you opened your presents and you celebrated with family and friends and had a very good time. And then some of you, later on, you went back out to the malls and exchanging some of your gifts and looking for deals to go even buying Christmas things for next year, cards and maybe lights that are out there and are discounted. But life is kind of getting back to our day-to-day routines. Not quite yet, and we still get through the new year and that celebration, but we're starting to change. The frenzy over the past few weeks of Advent and the shopping and the meals and everything that we do, going to the malls, is starting to settle down a little bit. And what is left? Because we're not really thinking so much about Christmas. And for a few weeks, I decided I wasn't going to watch the news. So I haven't seen a news broadcast in about 3 weeks. And I will tell you, I feel a lot happier. Because when I'm watching it, I see terrorism in France and in California and around the world. And it kind of brings you down. And homeless people sleeping in door stoops, you know, and you're getting the letters asking for money. And hungry people begging for food. Worries about our health and our family that seems more real for some reason during the holidays. Jobs that wear us down. Aging parents that take our time and we worry about them. And then a host of other issues that confront us on a daily basis. And we're just 2 days from celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is that inevitable letdown. It's natural. We cannot stay on a high forever. So much was packed in these 4 weeks. And we can talk about keeping Christmas all year long, but I don't know that we could handle it. I tell you, as a minister, I couldn't handle it. I can't. And we don't want the clogged streets around Ross Mall that you can't even find a parking space. We want to be able to drive and get up real close so we don't have to walk across that parking lot, so we can spend all the time walking circles in the mall. And who can maintain the pace of eating? I know I have kind of a strict diet, and I got off of my diet, and then that brings a stomach ache, as some of you had from eating rich foods that you don't normally eat and eating twice as much as you might normally eat. And then there's the holiday cheer. We might drink a little too much and not used to that, and it affects us. The rich desserts, the cakes, the pies, the cookies, the candy, not to mention all those delicious, fattening meals. So actually, I think all of us need a little break from Christmas. You know, Mary and Joseph weren't allowed to live in Bethlehem. Neither can we. It's back to the real world, at least until we get through New Year's, and it'll really be back to the real world, back to school, back to our normal work, back to everything that we do on a daily basis. But you know what happened to Mary and Joseph and the babe after Christ's birth. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of King Herod. The Holy Family left just in time for when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men. He was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys around 2 years old and younger. So horrifying. I can't even imagine that. And after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took Mary and the child, and went to the land of Israel as he was told. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And who wouldn't be? And having been warned in a dream, Joseph withdrew to the district of Galilee, and there he raised his family in a town called Nazareth. And that's why we always say Jesus of Nazareth instead of Jesus of Bethlehem. We complain because we have to go back to work and the everydayness of life after Christmas and the holidays. But our world, at least in the U.S., does not compare to the world of this young family celebrating. We've been celebrating these past few weeks in Advent and Christmas Eve and Christmas and the television shows and all the music that we love so much. They lived in a world much different than you and I live in, closer to some of the third world countries today. Lived in a world where a king could order all the infants, 2 years and younger, to be killed, to be put to death. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine a king even being willing to give that order. They lived in a world that did not have the creature comforts that we have. We're so blessed with air conditioning and comfortable homes, and we can get on a jet and we can fly across the country, or we can get in our automobiles with cruise control and air conditioning and radio and Sirius and iPods, and we can listen to our music and we can travel in comfort. We can pull over just about a host of motels or hotels and spend the night in comfort. They had no 7-Elevens to stop at. They couldn't stop and get a Pepsi and some Cracker Jacks or whatever for a little boost and refresh. Whatever the means of transportation, it was a hard, tiring journey for them. They lived in a world where even after Herod's death, they could not be certain that they would be safe. For Christmas is over, at least on the calendar. So where does that leave us? The manger is just the beginning of God's plan for humanity. There's still so much more to be done. This babe must grow up. He must learn life's lessons, and he must grow up into an adult, teach his disciples, that he must go to the cross and die, that he must be resurrected and ascend into heaven. I can't imagine having the life of Jesus knowing that you're going to have to go through all of that. And then his followers, not received the Holy Spirit yet. They hide and they're scared because their lives may be on the line. But after they received the Holy Spirit, they became empowered, bold, and they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then passed down through the centuries, 2,000 years later, until we get to the year 2015. So how do we live our lives until Jesus comes again? What do we do? How do we act? How do we feel? We do what Joseph did during those dark days of... He trusted God. It's really that simple. And we make it out to be really hard. He was warned in a dream to flee Herod's wrath. And what did he do? Did he sit around and discuss this with his wife and say, and talk to some people? Say, you know, do you really think this is what I should do? You know, I had this dream. Angels came to me. But, you know, is that really real? No. He trusted. He had his faith. And he immediately packed his bags and hightailed it out of there. Joseph trusted God. Then just as he trusted God when the angel told him there was a child within Mary. That had to be a very hard, a very difficult circumstance in his life to know that his betrothed was already pregnant and not by him. But you know, Mary did not argue. She didn't say, come on, Joseph, a dream that the king is going to kill our baby. You know, get real, Joseph. That's just not going to happen. I'm tired and I don't want to travel. Why don't you just go down to the Giant Eagle and get us something to eat and bring it back. We'll have a nice meal. But no, that's not what happened. She trusted Joseph because Joseph trusted God, and she already realized what kind of a man she had in Joseph. She realized what his character was, and that he loved her, and that he loved this new baby, and that he loved his heavenly Father. I think that we can say that he was a man of true faith, that he was what we would like to say a real man. So an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him not to be afraid of taking Mary and his wife, even though he's with child. Then Matthew tells us when Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And we've already noted when an angel came and told him to take Mary and the child and to flee to Egypt, Matthew tells us, so Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Not a few days later, not even the next morning, but that very night, obeyed God and went. Come on, Mary, we've got to go. I've heard from our Lord, and he says that our child, our new son, is in danger. That was Joseph. God spoke, and Joseph acted on what he heard from God. And we all need that kind of faith, that complete trust in God's will and his way. First thing we need to do after Christmas is to keep trusting God. Believe that God is there and don't allow doubt to come into your heart, into your mind. Another thing we need to take care of and think about, just as Joseph did, we need to take care of those whom we love. And we kind of take that for granted. We go, sure. But that was Joseph's, really, his primary concern. He loved Mary and he loved Jesus. And he was committed to doing whatever needed to be done to take care of his family financially, materially, emotionally, and spiritually. And that is what we do after Christmas is past. We keep trusting and we keep taking care of those whom we love. We understand their gifts to us from God, and if we're not already doing it, we need to make sure that we treat our family with love, with dignity, and with respect. And we need to remember the reason that Christ came into the world to bring the gift of salvation and eternal life. Because we get so caught up in Christmas and buying presents and giving and parties that all of us have a tendency to forget, to not make Jesus' birth and what has happened the priority of Christmas. Christ came in the world for one reason, one reason alone, because God, our Heavenly Father, so loved the world. God loves us. He cares for us. And Christmas itself is centered in love. So we want to keep the Christmas spirit all year long, even though we won't be talking about Christmas, even though the holidays will be over. Christmas really should never be over in our lives. It should be with us every single day when we wake up and when we're going through our work day, or we're in the hospital, or whatever the situation, and when we get ready to go to sleep, we should be thinking about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to take care of those we love. However, as people of faith, we need to understand that we have to take care of other people also. Those who are less fortunate, those who do not have homes, those who do not have food to eat, those who are hurting, those who are crying out, those who are suicidal, those who are mentally ill. Everyone, it is our responsibility. And I know we, a lot of times, don't think, well, this is not my job, that's not my responsibility. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Christmas is over, but the Christmas spirit should remain with us all year long. So trust God. Take care of those that you love and love your neighbors. And may you be blessed on this first Sunday after Christmas. And may you allow Christmas and all that it stands for to radiate from your heart, from your mind, from your very being. May God bless you. Amen. Hymn of response, Good Christian Men Rejoice, 151. The men will sing the first verse, the women the second, and then all of us will join in for the third. Putting together a new members class. If you're anyone that you know would like to join, you can talk to me or you can fill out an I wish card and you can hand it to me. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, oh, that you did feel the spirit of Christmas and the love that God has for the entire world. And remember, just being willing to come into our lives, die for us, and bring us the gift of eternal life and salvation. Go with the spirit of Christmas, and go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.